The Wander Podcast, what to do, see, and experience in Arizona. Each week, we visit with special guests and discuss various topics focusing on Arizona's tourism, business, manufacturing, and sports. Now, here's your hosts, Paul Conant and Jamie Copeland.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Jamie Copeland here, half of the Wander Podcast. My cohort in crime, Paul Conant, is on assignment. So sitting in for him is our infamous behind-the-scenes producer-director, Robin. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's a lovely day. Things are good. Life is moving along, and so can't complain.
Right, and our weather is just absolutely amazing. It starts out a little cold and chilly in the morning, but then by the mid-afternoon, we're into, what, 68, 70?
Yep, and by week's end, they say we're going to be up into 81, so no complaints at all.
Yeah, I kind of like that. It's weird how Arizona works. You could be down here in the valley where it's nice and then cold up north with the snow or the rain. And it's weird because even in Payson this past week, a buddy of mine lives up there in a cabin. He said it's not really snow. It's coming down as ice cubes, so it's hail. But then 2 hours later, they're getting a snowdrift.
And then up at Arizona Snowball, I think they got 4 new inches of snow. So they had a great weekend last weekend.
Wow.
And I'm sure like they did last year, we'll probably be skiing well into April.
Do you ski?
I used to, but I no longer. I considered it a hazardous sport for me. Yeah. I played hockey for 30 years.
Now you hit on my favorite button because I love hockey. What position?
I was a goaltender.
Really?
Yeah, I played goaltender. I went to a school as a very young kid, and everybody had to skate and play hockey. And my kids always joke about it because I couldn't skate very well, so I became a goaltender.
That's the toughest job, though. Even though you have the defensemen that muck it up and fight and do all that and protect the center from bringing it up, but the goalie I've always felt is the toughest job because you never know where it's coming from. You have to have that vision to see it before it's upon you.
Well, I've always said you're either a hero or a bum. You know, so when the center is out of position and misses the play and the winger is out of position and the defenseman doesn't pick up the attacker and the puck goes in the net, you're the bum.
So that's very true.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was great. It is a tough position.
Plus, with all that equipment you have to wear, too. That's
a
lot.
Well, 30 years ago, the equipment was certainly not what it was today for goaltenders or hockey players.
That's true.
But talking about great weather, we have great weather, but we have no spring training.
I know, that is just so sad.
In the Valley, and it's really, really disappointing. I mean, I'm not going to get into the politics of professional sports athletes. I don't know. I guess they're negotiating for benefits and other things, but gosh, when you make the money they do, once again, here we are, the fans who support them and whatnot, year in and year out, are sitting here with no games to go to and whatnot. And I just find that disappointing that at least maybe for spring training, you know, where it's an up-close and fun experience for kids and families who travel to both Florida and the Grapefruit League as well as the Cactus League in Arizona, that here we are again and there's a lockout and everybody's here. You know, the financial impact is looming over Scottsdale in the Valley. I think that a study in 2018 by ASU University said that the financial impact was $644 million.
Wow.
For spring training. And, of course, the pre-COVID, or COVID when it stopped mid-season in 2020, I think they generated about $230 or $240 million before that fell off. But it's just disappointing. But the upside is that, you know, the hotels are booked. People are dining. People are shopping. People are visiting the great attractions and museums and everything that the Valley has to offer because they pre-booked all of their trips in anticipation for spring training going on as scheduled. But so I think the biggest hit by people are going to be the stadiums, the venues, you know, the fans. I think there were about close to 1 million who attended in the last recorded, 2019. And if you value $25 to $30 a ticket, there were the losses for both the teams, the cities, and the vendors.
Yes.
Which I feel for, because they're all likely small business owners locally who got screwed,
And that's sad, because how do you fix that problem? I mean, I understand that the world of sports is very difficult because you do get hurt. You overextend yourself. You pull muscles. You hurt yourself. And I've known some professional athletes in the past that were very smart about things, because your average career in any given sport could be 5 years because of injuries and other things, especially like taking concussions in hockey and football. Your career can end within a couple of years. So a lot of the people I've known in professional sports have been smart about taking their initial paychecks and investing. But then you have a lot of these guys who come on and they spend all that money. They live high on the hog, so they don't keep that money. That's, and then they ask for more and more. And it does get frustrating, because I myself, as a sports fan to some degree, will get pretty ticked off when I see people not talking. And you're angry because of this, that, and the other thing. Here we are, it's 2022, and we can't have a conversation openly about what needs to be done. What is it that's holding this up? Why are you depriving your fans? Because if anything, we have to remember, no matter what we're doing for a living, whether we're a musician, a sports figure, whatever, it is the fans. It is the fans that give you your career. You can be the greatest of all time athlete or musician, but if you're not taking care of the most important element of this, which is your fans, that's where I have my problem, Jamie. I think they have to understand the fans have to come first. And I grew up here in Arizona. We had spring training right down the block. I used to ride my bicycle and watch the Oakland A's and then the Cubs play. So, I mean, this is part of my heritage, and it's not here this year.
Well, I think that you've hit on a good point. I mean, we talk about kindness. We talk about the bigger picture. I'm not making light that in baseball you can't have injuries. Of course you can. But you might play 120 or 130 games. I'm not sure exactly what the season is. But when you're playing, 110 games, if you're doing the full season in hockey, knock 'em, sock 'em against the boards every second night, and you're playing 17 or 18 football games, which is on the fly constantly, and you get paid $15 million a year to play 120 games of baseball, or 140, I can't remember what it is, you're less likely to get injured than you are if you're playing hockey or, football, right, or one of the more aggressive contact sports. The thing that I don't think is taken into account are the local vendors.
Mm-hmm.
All right, these are the people. I think Cactus League employs about 3,500 to 4,000 people, local vendors who sell hot dogs and t-shirts and paraphernalia and whatnot, who really rely on spring training. I was looking at a news broadcast where a high-end specialty store in downtown Scottsdale said that 60% of his annual revenue just comes from spring training sales.
Oh, wow.
And, it's easy to look at the big picture, but, when you start putting a microscope to it and a magnifying glass and you work your way down, it's all the other people that get hurt that don't have an opportunity of recapturing those funds. I mean, if there's a fire in the kitchen on Sunday, nobody's going back Wednesday for Sunday brunch.
Right.
Those dollars are gone. And I think that I'm sure there are key issues that are involved in all of this, but I think that, you're right. It's the fans. It's the businesses who support the leagues and the teams and whatnot, and they're the ones that get hurt. I mean, if nobody's going to go watch a football game or a baseball game, then guess what? The TV revenues decline, the incomes decline, everything declines. And I think that, unfortunately, it's somewhat selfish not to address or be aware of the fact that so many other local people who rely upon these big salaried professionals for their own income, they're left out in the cold.
You know, and I'm trying to remember, there was a couple of athletes. I wish I could remember who it was, but back when the whole COVID thing hit and things were canceled, and one of the players actually thought about those vendors and the guys that would walk up and down during the game selling the beer and the peanuts and the hot dogs and all that so you didn't have to leave your seat. He actually contributed money to these vendors and these folks that were working for the vendors because, you know, he knew the impact. He saw that. And I think if more players in any type of sport actually thought about that type of human kindness and even gave a smidgen of their big, huge salary to help out, to float these people through the time, I think they would be more endeared to these people as a real kind human being. And I know that's asking a lot, but there are certain people who are in the sports and they should lead by example. And
well you have Harbaugh. All right. Jim Harbaugh, I believe, who was the coach of the Michigan Wolverines. This past year, all of his bonus money created for getting to the championship or winning the league and so forth and so on, which was amounted to millions of dollars, he donated entirely to the Michigan staff who had been laid off during the pandemic. How can you not, even if you don't like his style and you don't like Michigan, how can you not have admiration and respect for an individual who realizes, you know, the people that put him where he is and helps keep him there,
right?
All right, takes this and gives it back. And I, you know, I've always been taught that you get more from giving than you do from taking. I don't know. I've been waiting for a story in one of the local papers, the Republic, or on one of the newscasts where, you know, the Arizona Diamondbacks or the Colorado Rockies, who play at Talking Stick Arena, have kicked in $1 million each to help the vendors that normally would have generated revenue. Hasn't come yet, but maybe it will. As I said, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 people, you know, are working each year for the various teams. And I think that, you know, estimates because of the pandemic, people who were locked up and, you know, wanted to spread their wings and get out and take their families on a vacation to a great area like Phoenix, Arizona, the Valley, that the potential impact to the city this year could have been $750 million, $750 million. And even though, you know, people, the hotels are doing well and there's tons of people walking the streets, restaurants are full and whatnot, there are people that are hurting and have lost revenue as a result. So,
yeah, and you know, you brought up a good point. I want to touch on this just quick. You said something about people, you know, getting out because we've been seclusion for so long due to COVID and we forget about the mental state. And going to a baseball game, a spring training game, that's something that brings us back to our childhood. That's something that makes us feel good. It's an all-day thing. You hang out. Even if you're total strangers meeting at the baseball game, by the end of the game, it's like you're all friends in that section. You're doing the wave. You're singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. You're doing all this cool stuff. And we don't realize how our mental state has been affected for the last couple years being in seclusion and not having events like this. And now with spring training being canceled, I can only think that maybe somebody out there is feeling pretty bad right now because they're not able to get out in the sunshine, get a little vitamin D, and watch their favorite team play.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's a great comparison. I look at football fans, and it reminds me of Animal House.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that anybody notices anything other than what's going on the field. They're yelling so loud. I think that baseball is a step up from golf in the civility aspect from fans in the stands. And you're right. You will find people from all over the country and in some cases around the world who come to watch these baseball games. And, you know, you chat it up with your neighbor next because of the way baseball is played with in between innings and so forth and so on. You get to meet really nice people.
You do.
All right. And I think that's something that we all missed out on this year. But, you know, hopefully 2023, we can regain our sanity the professional players can reach your professionalism again, and we can have a great spring training where people can actually come to the Valley and not only shop and play golf and enjoy, which is lots to do, but also enjoy some great baseball up close with the players and whatnot that their family and kids admire so much.
I miss those days. Hopefully they will return soon.
And hopefully they will in 2023. So we're going to wrap up the show with hopes and prayers that next year, hopefully the regular season will not be delayed any further.
I can't even understand how they can start a regular season without any practice. I mean, they're going to be so out of shape. They got to be doing something.
Well, they are. They're probably out golfing and whatnot and enjoying.
That doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
You get beer bellies that way.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, Robin, I'd like to thank you for co-hosting the show this week. And as always, in closing, I always like to say that kindness is a strength, not a weakness. Extend your hand to be kind to somebody. But we have a global catastrophe, tragedy going on, as we all know, in the Ukraine these days. So I'd like to refocus my attention to the mothers and children and families that have been given minutes to pack a suitcase, their entire life's belongings, and run for their lives to safer countries. And if we can all reach down a little deeper and extend a helping hand to the families and citizens of the Ukraine, there are lots of GoFundMe pages. There's the World Central Kitchens you can donate to. The Wander Media Group selected the Ukraine Red Cross to make a donation to. But if you could find it in your hearts to help out a country and help this human tragedy, we would certainly, me personally as the president and publisher of the Wander Media Group, would be greatly indebted for your generosity. And with that, a quick reminder that the show is brought to you by Cactus Jock with four great downtown locations in Scottsdale, Arizona. To serve you, they've got a great experience now called the Rideables Experience, where you can take an electric motorized vehicle tour of downtown Scottsdale. It's great for family and friends. So go to Cactus Jock, and it's spelled K-A-C-T-U-S, not C, K-A-C-T-U-S.com to learn more about the great gifts and souvenirs and the Rideables experience.
And I just want to tell you before we close this out, I actually got stuck behind a train of those Rideables. Now I know what you guys are talking about. There was a whole slew of them right in downtown Scottsdale the other day when I went to a restaurant.
And you can't miss them, right?
No, you can't. And here's the cool thing. Yeah. I even had to wait. I was at a green light, but I had to let them all go through. So they have carte blanche in downtown Scottsdale.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Great, Robin.
Great seeing you, Jamie. Take care.
Thank you. You bet.
Visiting Arizona? Looking for a very special gift or souvenir? Then you have to visit one of Cactus Jock's three downtown Scottsdale locations. Quality apparel, custom one-of-a-kind t-shirts, and hundreds of other great gifts. And now you can visit the new Cactus Jock Experience, located behind their Fifth Avenue store. Can't take it with you? Then KJ will ship it home for you. Visit us in person or online at cactusjock.com. If you can't find what you're looking for at Cactus Jock, chances are you won't find it anywhere. Do you remember those age-old recipes made with all natural ingredients that have been handed down from generation to generation? Those family recipes that have your taste buds exploding with every bite? Well, that's what the Old West Sauce and Salsa Company brings to you with every product we sell. Healthy, all-natural ingredients that give you the best-tasting homemade sauces, salsas, rubs, and spices we guarantee you've ever tasted. At the Old West Sauce and Salsa Company, it's about the pride and time taken for serving up high-quality products, delivering great taste, robust aromas and flavors that we know will have you coming back for seconds. And yes, all of our products are still made right here in Phoenix, Arizona. To learn more, we invite you to go online to theoldwest.co. That's right, .co. Because the M is already in the sauces, salsas, rubs, and spices. Thank you for listening to the Wander Podcast with your hosts, Paul Conant and Jamie Copeland. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends, subscribe, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Want more information on the Wander Podcast and our publication, Wander AZ Magazine, Arizona's #1 in-room publication? Visit wanderaz.com.